If you don't personally have an attention challenge, it's hard to understand what it's like to live with one. Even if you have a child with ADD or ADHD, your heart may hurt for them, or you may be tearing your hair out over them, but you don't really know what it's like to walk in their shoes. But Michaela, our delightful 16-year-old guest today, knows exactly what it's like. I can't wait for her to share her insights and her story with you. This is LD Expert Live. Before I bring Michaela in, I want to talk to you a little bit about attention. If your child struggles in school, there's a good chance that you or your child's teacher have observed difficulties with paying attention. But having worked with thousands of struggling learners over the past 36 years, I recognize that ADD, ADHD, is a real and sometimes devastating challenge for families. But I also know that when a child or teen is struggling in school, attention is more often than not a symptom of that challenge. If you follow us at all, I know you've seen our learning skills continuum. You'll see that academics and school skills are up at the top of the continuum, and in order to work comfortably up there, you need strong supporting skills or rungs on your ladder. When the underlying skills are weak, particularly those at those first two tiers, the core learning or processing skills levels of the continuum, it will stress the person's attention. So not all attention problems point to ADD or ADHD. They could be simply a logical outcome of not having the skills to do the job. I think this is a really important thing for parents and teachers and doctors to understand. Now, attention can be the real root of the challenge, and today we are going to be talking about ADD. Our guest today is Michaela Caliendo. Michaela is a pretty amazing young woman. She is a junior in high school, an A student, a varsity tennis player, a speaker, and the founder of her own nonprofit company, Pay Attention. That's ADD, Attention. But it was not always that way for her, and she is here to tell you her story. Welcome, Michaela.
Hi, Jill. Thank you so much for having me on Experts Live. It's truly an honor.
Oh, I am so excited to have you. And we have
so much
to talk about today. I know you have great insights for parents and students, but I'd really love to start by having you share your story.
Of course. I'm super excited to do that. So my name is Michaela Caliendo. I'm 16 years old and I have ADD. I'm here today to share my story with you. It is a story of challenges and setbacks, but as well as success and hope. At just 14 months old, my parents noticed signs of trouble. I wasn't making the sounds that I would be expected this age. I was given speech therapy services through regional center and later through the school district. In preschool, I would stare out the window while everyone else was learning and sitting quietly during circle time. At age 4.5, I was officially diagnosed with ADD. By this time, I had been receiving not only speech therapy, but also sensory integration therapy. Tags, socks, and certain clothes, they all made me uncomfortable and unable to focus. In fact, there's a pretty crazy story that demonstrates the severity of my sensory issues at that time. On Thanksgiving afternoon, a hotel security guard knocked on our door to investigate a possible case of child abuse. Several guests had reported hearing screams coming from our room. When my mother opened the door, they could immediately see that there was no child being abused. Instead, they found me having a meltdown, not wanting to wear that itchy holiday sweater. It was that day that my mother came to realize the severity of my sensory issues. Needless to say, she didn't want me to wear that itchy holiday sweater after all. As much as I couldn't stand certain materials, I absolutely had no problem smearing shaving cream and flubber all over myself during preschool art activities. Other kids were sent to school in their best clothes. My mother sent me to school prepared for new stains to decorate my already stained clothing. My parents decided to have me repeat pre-K, which was a really good decision because it helped me catch up. Just this year, I realized that the age cutoff explanation wasn't quite adding up. My parents kept that from my brother and me, not knowing if he'd torture me or not with that information. Luckily for me, my brother is one of my best friends and he would never do that. I was bullied in first grade, possibly because of my differences, but also because some of the boys in my grade were just plain mean. I tried many programs, Kumon, Tutor, and Summer Bridge programs. The environment of the Summer Bridge programs really seemed to help me and helped me improve in reading comprehension. It gave me several responsibilities, and it put me in a college environment. The bridge programs led to less stress, as it helped me remember everything over the summer, which normally I would tend to forget over those 3 months off. I tried sports to help clear my brain and improve my focus. In softball, I was voted the MNP, the most noticeable player, because I'd practice my karate in the outfield. Yes, I said karate. I may not have been able to pay attention, but I sure got a lot of attention from the coach. My parents tried to help improve my focus through diet. We tried no wheat, no sugar, and no red dye. By age 7, it was clear that we needed to try something else. The doctor prescribed medication to help me improve my concentration. We tried one, then another, and then another. We tried 5 different medications before I found the one that was right for me. I was on the medicine for 4 years, but because I was so skinny and getting sick all the time, it came down to my education or my health. Of course, we chose my health. I was in 5th grade and only 45 pounds when I stopped taking the medication. That's 26 pounds below the average 11-year-old girl. That's the size of my full-grown dog. Throughout elementary school, my mom tried to get me an IEP. She wasn't able to succeed in getting that official help, but she was able to get some help by meeting regularly with my teachers. She also volunteered often in the classroom and learned which of the teacher's methods and phrases she could use to help me with my work at home. This was really helpful. Something that also really helped me was my supportive 5th grade teacher. He always reminded me to stay focused and he was always there for me. Finally, in middle school, I was given a 504 plan. On my 504 plan, I have many accommodations such as sitting in the front row of the classroom. I got extra time on tests if I needed it. I had a quiet environment to take tests. And I got extra time on the homework if I needed help. In 6th grade, my mother put me into an after-school program called Homework Club. I was really upset with her at first, but I ended up loving it. I was able to work with classmates on homework assignments, and the teachers were there if I needed extra help. This quiet place where I was able to focus became crucial to my growing success. So crucial, in fact, that Homework Club was added to my 504 plan to ensure that I would always be guaranteed to get one of the limited seats. I continued to struggle academically through 6th and half of 7th grade, but something started to happen at the end of 7th grade. I started to find that I was able to control some of my concentration problems, and I was able to bring myself back to the task at hand. There's a certain level of maturity and impulse control that I was suddenly able to use. Well, if you were to ask my choir teacher, She would say that there was little to no change in my chattiness that year. All other teachers, however, noticed I was more focused and getting much better grades. During my struggles with ADD, I felt different from everyone else. I felt that I wasn't normal, that something was wrong with me. I felt I wasn't as smart as the other kids, and I felt that no one wanted to be my friend. Today, I do still struggle with concentration and organization. I still have occasional setbacks, and I find that life can be very challenging. But I'm finding that I celebrate my successes way more these days than fixating on my challenges. At home, I find that it helps my concentration to run an essential oil diffuser while I do my homework. And during the weeks when I'm studying for a test, I take omega-3 fish oil pills. This seems to help me a little bit. Today, I am a varsity tennis player. I am a high school ambassador. I have two jobs. I am a sailing instructor and a tennis instructor. I am a leader on my sailing team. And I'm the founder of my own company called Pay Attention. I meet with kids to share my personal experience with ADD, and I give them tips on how they can manage theirs. Now that I look back, I recognize that there was and is nothing wrong with me. Everyone has challenges in life, and ADD so happens to be mine. According to CHAD, a national organization dedicated to improving the lives of people affected by ADHD, I'm not alone. I'm just one of the 6 million kids who have ADD in the United States. I'm just one of the 129 million kids worldwide who have ADD. I'm standing here today to make sure everyone knows that ADD is very common. You are not alone. I want you to know that there is help and there is hope. We do not need to stand alone. Thank you, everyone, so much for paying attention.
Michaela, you are such an inspiration.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Of course.
If you are just joining us, this is LD Expert Live. I'm your host, Jill Stowell, founder of Stowell Learning Centers, where we help children and adults permanently change their learning and attention challenges. My guest today is Michaela Caliendo, a high school junior who has not only learned to take control of her own attention deficit, but has a real heart for helping other kids and parents who are dealing with ADD or ADHD. So, Michaela, when did you first understand that you had ADD?
I really first understood I had ADD in sixth grade. I could start to see the differences between myself and the other students. When someone would get called on in class, they'd be able to answer a question like it was a piece of cake. And then I would get called on in class and I would ask the teacher, what was the question or what topic are we on? I would easily forget what the teacher was giving a lecture on, or I wouldn't even understand the question she was asking. So when I saw the differences between myself and the other students on how easily they could answer the questions, or how easily they could do the homework or take the test, and I was getting C's and D's on my test, that's when I really understood that I had my attention disorder.
And did learning that there was actually a name for it, was that kind of a relief to you to know that?
It wasn't a relief for me because I knew I was different at that point. And a lot of times I'd feel that something was wrong with me, especially since it was known as a attention disorder. Just the word for that kind of made me self-conscious about myself, and it really lowered my self-esteem. So surprisingly, I was not relieved. It really brought down my self-esteem with school. But once I realized that I had it, everything added up with my grades and my concentration, but I was not relieved to hear that I had ADD.
You know, I loved what you said when you said, now you recognize that everybody has challenges and everybody's challenges are different. Yours happens to be ADD. And that just might be a really good way for parents to help their kids understand what's going on with them.
Right. It really is.
So I think it's really helpful for parents and teachers to hear from a student's perspective what it feels like to struggle with learning and attention challenges. And you really have given us kind of a picture of that. You mentioned that your fifth grade teacher was really supportive and he made a real difference for you. What did he do that was helpful?
He always took an interest in me and he was always there for me. At the end of the day, he asked me every single day. I remember every single day he'd stand at the door. I would purposely be the last one to leave so that I could talk to him. And he'd pull me aside and say, "How was your day today? Were you able to concentrate in class? How's your medication going?" And I would say, "It's been a really tough day. I just felt dumb today. I felt stupid. I felt that I wasn't as good as the other kids. When you were calling on kids, they'd answer questions and I couldn't. And it just made me feel really upset." And he'd say, "Well, what can we do tomorrow that we did not do today?" And he would always try and problem solve with me. And he gave me advice. He said, "Maybe you should do this. Maybe I'll close the windows tomorrow so that you don't look outside." And that was always a really big thing for me. I'd look outside and see all the kids walking by, or I'd see a friend and I'd wave to them. And so he'd close the blinds. And if anything else that I told him that I would like him to do to help me, he would always do it. He would put me in the front of the class. And he was just always there for me. And it showed me that I'm not alone with this. And my parents would do the same. They'd ask me, "How's your day today? Were you able to concentrate?" And if I wasn't, they wouldn't shame me for it because they knew it was my fault, just like my teacher did. He would never yell at me for having ADD, like that I can't control it. He would always try and problem solve with me, and he'd bring me back to the task at hand if I wasn't paying attention. And the most important thing he did was he wouldn't call me out in front of the entire class, because that makes me feel very upset about myself and it makes me feel like something was wrong with me if everyone in the room knows that I have an attention disorder.
You know, that is, there were a couple of things you said there that I think are so important. One is not calling the student out in front of the class, and also not treating it like a discipline problem, because ADD is not something that we want to struggle with. None of us want to struggle with any of our challenges that we have, particularly. So recognizing, having that teacher problem solve with you, that's just such a productive thing to do. So
it was really great. It taught me a lot, especially, and it gave me new strategies, and I still use those today, like sitting in the front of the classroom. But that's why I'm here to do this. I want teachers and parents to know that your kids shouldn't be ashamed of this. And I'm not anymore. I've learned to problem solve, and now I'm doing super great with everything. And so I just want teachers and parents to know that you should never shame the kid for having ADD, because it is not their fault.
Absolutely. So you made a big turnaround in seventh grade. And when we were talking before, you kind of mentioned that maybe it was that summer or something, you got your first job and that made a real difference for you. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So I got my first job going into seventh grade, and that was me being a sailing instructor. So I was teaching kids 4 to 6 how to sail. Not really how to sail, but just kind of play around with them on the beach and hang out. But that taught me a lot of responsibility, and it taught me that I need to do things for myself. And there was just one day I got home and I literally just looked around my house and I appreciated everything that I have in my life. And I told myself, I have everything in my house. I have a phone. I have this because my parents did that for me, because they had to succeed in school and they had to do things for themselves when they were younger. And I realized that I need to start doing this for myself if I want to have the same thing when I'm older. So that job really just clicked something in my brain when I had to have the responsibilities of, if the kid needs to go to the bathroom, I'll bring them to the bathroom. I have to do some paperwork for my job. I have to keep on track the timing so the parents don't get upset. I had to learn how to drive a boat around. Like it was just the super simple things. But it was also a lot of maturity for me. I matured a lot in seventh grade at the end. And I got a bunch of new responsibilities. And I started paying for my own things myself when I got my job. And so it was super nice. And I bought my first car by myself with my own money, and I pay for my gas. And so just that job taught me a lot of responsibilities on what I need to do with my own time.
That is really great. You know, we had a guest a couple of weeks ago who talked about how chores can be a really valuable thing for kids, because it does get them, you know, taking care of the dog or doing something that's going to be helpful to the family, because it gets you out of your own head and thinking about someone else and having some timelines and responsibilities. So you sound like a pretty amazing seventh grader, I have to tell you, with that maturity.
Thank you.
But, you know, that's, you know, having a job is, or chores or something that starts to teach responsibility is a great thing.
Exactly. And even if it is a job, it doesn't have to be like working in a restaurant. It could just be a fun little summer camp. There's so many around Orange County. Like, if you're looking for a job, you could get a summer camp job super easily, and it's fun too. And yeah, but it's responsibility. And I forgot to mention the exercise. Exercise for me was a huge part of overcoming my ADD, because I'm really stressed by the end of the school day. And I'd feel like something was wrong with me. And I'd go to tennis and I'd get all my energy out, and I'd go home and I'd be able to do my homework super easily. And so exercise is really a huge part of it as well. So if your child is not doing a sport currently, maybe get them started on a sport. It helps get your energy out, helps get anger out sometimes. I needed that sometimes, but
sports really do. And really hitting that ball, that gets a lot of energy out.
Oh, yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there are lots of studies out there to show that exercise really does have an impact on memory, attention, just really general well-being. But definitely there's a correlation with exercise and attention. So that's, you know, that's a great tip for parents before their kids start to have to come home from school, sit down and do homework, to have some time to move before they do that.
Yeah, it really helps.
So your mom was obviously very supportive of you. But, you know, as parents, we don't have all the answers, and we really are trying to figure it out along the way.
Right.
What do you think would be helpful for parents to know?
The most important thing that really helped me with my confidence or my low self-esteem during ADD was you have to be extremely patient with your child. You cannot shame them if they don't do something properly. If they get a bad grade on a test, you can't expect your child to get all A's with ADD in their beginning stages. They're going to get bad grades. They're going to have a really rough time. They're not going to be the greatest school student. That's what it comes down to. They're not going to be what you wish they will be in the beginning stages. But the only thing you could do to help that is to problem solve with them. You could work with them on their homework. That's what my mother did. She helped me with my homework a lot, and she would sit there with me when I was upset, or I would cry over my homework because it'd be really frustrating, and I'd ask her, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? Everyone else is doing it, Mom. Like, what's wrong with me? And she would always tell me, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. The only thing a parent can do is be there for their child and problem solve with them. And the most important thing that I learned, my mom would always ask me, do the chores, do your chores. And I would say, Mom, I already knew I'd do the chores, but now that you told me to do them, I don't want to do them anymore. It came down to, like, if my mom told me to do something, but I already knew I had to do it, I'd get super mad and I wouldn't want to do it. So if your kid knows what they're doing, don't keep bugging them. Instead of saying, did you do your chores? Ask them, how are your chores going? Do you need any help with anything? Do you need me to remind you which steps you want to do? Because if you give your kid 5 chores at a time with ADD, they're not going to memorize all of the chores you have to do. Do one task at a time. It won't overwhelm them. When I would get a bunch of chores, I'd be very overwhelmed and it'd make me stressed out. And then I'd wonder, why can't I remember all of these? Why am I stressed out? Mm. most important thing, if you do want your child to do chores or if you want them to do homework assignments, do it step at a time. And it really helps the child not be overwhelmed, because the least you don't want to be overwhelmed with ADD. It gets very stressful.
You know, it's interesting, as a parent or a teacher, a lot of times what we're seeing is that the child isn't following directions, or we're seeing what's not getting done.
Right.
And sometimes we don't realize that inside that child is saying, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do it? They recognize that they're struggling and they're stressed out about it, even though it may come out as, don't tell me what to do. But
right.
But that stress is there. And I think that's an important thing for us to know. And also, I was thinking, you know, we are prone to saying, did you do your chores? Kind of that kind of thing. But when you do your chores, we don't always notice it. We just sort of expect it. And so, you know, right. That's probably a good thing too, to notice, hey, wow, I noticed you did that. That was so quick today.
That's a really important part too. You always want to acknowledge their work, because if you don't, they're gonna be like, I remember to do the chores this time, and she didn't even acknowledge that I did that. And when I would do that, I'd do my homework without my mom asking me for the first time. And she would always come up to me and say, you did so good on this essay. You did amazing on your homework. I am so proud of you. And that's what kept me going as a good student, because it showed me that my parents care what I do. And that's the best feeling that you could ever get, especially with ADD. You know that you overcame it, and you know that you won the battle with your ADD, and that gives you so much self-confidence.
Yeah, you did it. And, you know, validating that is such a good thing, because it makes you want to do it again.
Exactly. It makes you want to keep going with it.
Yeah. Well, I know that you have done some work with other students to help them understand themselves and try out different strategies. Do you have some suggestions for students who are struggling with attention, of some things they might want to do or think about?
Yeah. So if you are, I know this next semester, there's different choices for school. So if you are in the classroom, you always want to be seated in the front row. And if you do have a 504 plan, definitely put that on your 504 plan, because those are your rights, and your teacher cannot say, no, I'm putting you in the back row. They never want to do that to you. Teachers will always be supportive if you want to show them that you actually care. So I would suggest sitting in the front row of class, because that keeps you in touch with your teacher, and that maintains your eye contact with your teacher. And that has done so much for me, keeping eye contact with my teacher and shaking my head, nodding that I understand you. That shows them that you actually want to learn something. And half the time, they will just keep eye contact with you the entire lecture. And that is super crucial to your growing success. Because if you're like, oh, look at the butterfly flying outside, you're not going to learn anything. But if you look at your teacher and you're nodding your head to the lecture, they will keep that eye contact with you and they won't break it. And that forces you to keep that eye contact with them. And if you are doing online classes, make a schedule for yourself and stay to that schedule. If you want to do math on Monday, complete your math classes on Monday, all of your homework. If you want to do science on Tuesday, do science on Tuesday. And that helps you so you don't forget your homework. So if you start your math on Monday, but then you say, I kind of want to continue it Tuesday, you're going to go to the Tuesday homework and you're going to say, what the heck is this? I don't even remember what I'm doing. So if you do it all in one day, it helps you stay organized and it helps you remember what, like, your ideas you had in mind. And then I would also focus on a subject at a time, like I said, and that is extremely important. Make a schedule, write down your homework, write down your Monday homework, upcoming tests. You can study a couple days. It really helps you so you do not forget any of your homework. And if you are doing both online and in-class learning, have a buddy or a homework club. You could do Zoom calls with your buddy. It helps you make the homework fun if you're on FaceTime with your best friend. Who doesn't want to FaceTime their best friend? Notes. I take a lot of notes in class, and that keeps me extremely engaged, Because if with ADD, if you listen to someone talk, you're listening to them, but you're not taking in that information. So I write notes. You could always go back and look at your notes. You can never go back and re-see the lecture. You could always go back and look at your notes. I color coordinate my notes. That really helps me. Just a couple weeks ago, I had an English final and my teacher was like, go back and see all your commentary and write an essay about it. I went back, I highlighted all my commentary in green. That way I didn't have to flip through every single note I had. I go to the green pages and I say, here's my commentary. Now I can collect them. So that is really important. It saves you so much time. And also to make games fun or to make tests fun, I create Quizlets. It's a really good website, quizlet.com. You can play games on it. It creates flashcards for you. It has tests. You can make your own tests, multiple choice, write-in, or bubble. It's super, super nice. And I'd highly suggest that if you're trying to find a fun test game. And most importantly, do not procrastinate. I procrastinate a lot. And it really set me back in school and make everything super hard. I would go home and I'd say, no, I'm going to do everything tomorrow. And then tomorrow came, I have 20 worksheets to do. Tomorrow, the next day came, teacher, I have 10 zeros. I didn't do anything. The teacher gets mad at you. Why didn't you do your homework? Oh, I procrastinated. So that's never an excuse for ADD. You should not procrastinate. Just because you have ADD doesn't mean you're allowed to procrastinate. You do your homework when you should, and it really helps. And in order to do your homework, like I said, a reminder binder. You can find those at a store. The 50 or the 99 cent store has a bunch of them. But those are really important. And another way for having fun studying, you can make up songs. I'm a singer. I love to sing. You can make up songs or find songs on YouTube on how to memorize states or countries, and I still know every single song in my head on the 15 states in like the border of Eastern Europe. I still know all of those. So it's super, wow, super helpful once you make studying a fun game.
Wow, those were great tips.
Thank you.
So many good things in there. You know, you mentioned having a 504 plan, and for those of you who don't know what that is an accommodation plan that is created by school personnel and the parent and student. And it allows the student to have certain accommodations in class. You are a pretty good advocate for yourself. What have you learned about working with teachers with a 504 plan, or do you have any advice in terms of the 504 plan?
I always make sure that my teacher knows about my 504 plan, because some of them won't really pay attention to it. I've had to stand up for myself several times about it. And your accommodations are your legal right. Your teacher cannot take those away from you. If you have them, they can't do anything about it. They can't say, no, you're not allowed to sit in the front of the class. No, you're not allowed extra time test. The heck, no one else can. Why should you? They are your legal right. If you have those accommodations, you better stick to them and don't let your teacher get in the way of that. Say it nicely, of course. Don't call your teacher out on it in a rude way. But you have to say, hey, these are my accommodations. I got them from the school district. I need to sit in the front row, please. And they will eventually let you do it. And I've had to talk to the principal a couple times because the teachers get in the way of that. But you always need to stand up for yourself. But most importantly, make sure that they know you have that 504 plan, because sometimes the teachers don't, and they usually should know, but you never know. Sometimes they might. And I've also learned that you should ask a lot of questions in class. I got Student of the Year in History this year, because my teacher acknowledged how many questions I asked. And he said he appreciated them so much. And he told him that other students would go up to him at the end of class and tell him how much that they appreciated that I asked those questions. They would tell my teacher, I didn't want to ask those questions. Like, she's brave for doing that. And honestly, it's not like bravery. It is at the same time, but if you truly have a question that you know might be on a test, it's better to ask that question than miss a point on your test. And it helps the other students in the the class. Half the time, the students are thinking the exact same question, but they're too scared to ask the question. But question asking is nothing bad. No one's going to get annoyed at you. No one's going to go, dude, she has so many questions to ask. Why is she doing that? Asking a question is crucial to growing success.
You know, you said some really important things there. Chances are, if you have a question, there are other kids in the class that have the same question. So a lot of times kids feel, oh, everyone will think I'm dumb, you know, if I ask a question. But I can guarantee you that in a group of students, if one asks a question, there were others that had the same question. So be brave and go for it. And also just that whole idea of advocating for yourself, you know, as if we work with our kids on learning to say what they need. As adults, we look at that and we think, wow, that's so mature. You know, we think that's an awesome thing, but it also empowers the student to feel like, okay, I have this challenge, but I can do things for myself to work with it or work around it. So I like the idea that you as a student are making sure that the teacher knows that you have a 504 plan. And for parents, if your child has a 504 and they're younger, and you know, they're in elementary school or something, you want to connect with the teacher and just make sure that they know and that you've kind of talked together about the accommodations and why that will be so helpful to your child. A 504 plan is a little different than an IEP. An IEP, an individualized education plan, is something that every special education student has, and teachers will know that. Teachers will know if their child, if a student in their class has an IEP, but it's a little bit easier for a 504 to slip through the cracks. So I love that you take the initiative to let your teacher know. And I also loved something you said before about having eye contact with the teacher, acknowledging the teacher. You know, all of us want to be acknowledged and listened to, and teachers are no different. And when you respect them and show that kind of interest and respect, they will reciprocate that. They'll show that back to you and they'll take more interest. So great, great stuff.
Thank you.
Okay. I have one more thing, Kayla, Nicola, that comes up for a lot of our kids and our parents. Do you ever get fidgety in class?
I get extremely, extremely fidgety in class. And in order to help myself with being fidgety in class, I used to bang on the tables. I play with my hair. I take my hands like this. I put them in between my thighs and I keep them there and I cross my legs. And it's actually really comfortable and it makes me feel like comfortable in class. And I just keep them there the entire time. And I look at the teacher and I nod my head, and that keeps me from banging, clicking pens. And I also use silly putty sometimes. I tried slime, but it kind of got very distracting because of the clicky noises. But I tried some silly putty. Not really seemed to help. I just squeeze it in my hand while I was writing notes. I'd play with it, like make stuff out of it, but I kind of just like push it on the table while we were doing a lecture. But I found that rings and pens were extremely distracting to me. I would take the rings and I'd spin it in my, like, I'd like take it off my finger and look at them, and I'd click the pens. So that was never good for me. But I found that eye contact, silly putty, and putting my hands between my thighs were extremely crucial in my growing success for being fidgety in class.
Good, good advice. You know, it's really, really interesting hearing you say that, because what's happening physiologically is that when you contain your hands between your thighs or sitting on your hands, you're adding pressure, which helps increase your awareness of where you are in space and really honestly helps attention. Silly putty is really good because it's kind of hard. It's not super soft. Like
Play-Doh, you can't really play with it that much.
Right, right. And it does the same thing. It creates that pressure, which creates more awareness. So, right. You know, it's really interesting how you gravitated towards things that would really help you. And there's a reason for that. So other people can apply that too. Hey, it has been an incredible pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's an honor to be on this. I'm super excited.
I'm just so happy that you're here.
I am super excited to be here.
This is LD Expert Live. I'm Jill Stowell, founder of Stowell Learning Centers. And Michaela, before we wrap up, you started a nonprofit company called Pay Attention. Tell us a little bit about that. What is your vision there?
So I currently have a trademark on the name in case I want to grow it later. But right now it's just my mom and me. And my main goal is to help kids and families with ADD. I want them to get support from me. I want them to know that they're not alone, that it's very common. And I want them to know that they're not dumb for having ADD. There's strategies to get over it. I did it, so you can too. There's no reason why you should feel dumb or stupid. And even though it's called an attention disorder, that's the word that really lowered my self-esteem. Just know that you are not alone. You are just as everyone else. You are normal. There's nothing wrong with you for it. And I want to continue my story with larger groups. This is why I'm here, because I know how hard it was for me. And I want to make sure that kids could easily try and get over it. It's obviously not going to be easy, but I want to give as much strategies and help as much as I can. That way you can get over it as well. And I know everyone can.
Well, I think you have helped a lot of parents and students and teachers today. So thank you so much for joining me. It has been delightful.
Thank you for having me once again.
We are going to put up Michaela's contact information so that you can connect with her about Pay Attention. She works one-to-one with other students, and she speaks to parent and student groups. At Stowell Learning Centers, we help children and adults permanently change their learning and attention challenges. The vast majority of our students have attention challenges. That doesn't mean that they automatically have ADD or ADHD. When underlying processing or learning skills are weak, it will stress the person's attention system. But as those underlying skills are developed, the attention symptoms disappear. There are, however, some students, like Michaela, where attention actually is the underlying root of the struggles. And for us at the Learning Center, this is what we have to sort out in our assessment process in order to be sure that we are addressing the real root cause of the issue.